back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this on Monday morning. 251-343-0106 is the text line. Dale Jackson coming up in about an hour, and then Paul Pryan in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, it is that time. We get to talk to State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for hopping on. Well, before we get into like kind of some local things, business of the legislature is picking up a little bit. I saw Carrie Underwood throwing his name in the ring for majority leader, but it does sound like business is kind of ticking up a little bit.
Yeah, we're starting to get more requests for meetings and discussion on legislation for the upcoming session, and a lot of stuff going on. So I'm sure from now until then, it's going to get extremely busy. And usually December, January is really crazy right before the session.
Did you see what's your reaction to, I guess, the prison borrowing? We're adding another $100 and some odd million to the prison solution. I mean, did you see it coming? And B, does this seem like this is going to work?
Yeah, I figured whenever they put that in the legislation that we passed, I didn't like it, and I was afraid that was going to be a problem. I don't know, man. It's we've got to find a way to get our hands around that problem, because we are just writing checks for that prison system, and we've got to find a way to get it under control and see if we can't do something with it in other ways. But yeah, I was afraid that was coming.
Yeah, and will it be enough? Will they have to come back for more? I mean, I don't know. This is the one like big red flag to me. We got just just a few months of Kay Ivey left, and we're doing a lot of things with the financing and you know, is this something that we need to be doing at this moment, or should we be? And I know she's would disagree, and her administration would, but I don't know, this sort of lame duck situation and doing a lot of things before she leaves office is a red flag.
Yeah, I don't know all the facts and what we've got going on related to it, but I was concerned that this would that we would wind up, you know, coming back with more and more on these prisons. You know, you're starting to see more change orders and that kind of stuff coming around on some of these big projects more and more, and just, you know, wish there was a little bit more transparency and accountability to make sure that we're spending the money wisely and making sure that it's absolutely needed. And, you know, we're not just padding somebody's pocket somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's these are valid critiques. Hey, I guess the Pritchard situation's in the news. You're, you know, kind of familiar with this issue, disbanded the police force. The sheriff may walk away from it if they don't get some kind of deal made. I don't think the sheriff, even if you have the Mobile County Sheriff's Office doing regular patrols and kind of filling in, that still seems like a Band-Aid. They got to do something there. What do they need to do?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think the Sheriff's Department would even have to have assistance. I know we've done things, that Joint Crime Task Force up in Montgomery, that might be an option to do something like that here. If we could get Aaliyah, more of the federal partners involved, and let's really invest some time in Pritchard and get in there and kind of clean things up, slow it down. All of that didn't happen overnight, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. And the sheriff's done a phenomenal job with what he's had to work with, and I'm proud of what they've done. But on that same note, they can't just continue to keep doing that without adjusting budgets, personnel, and doing that. Because in order to put people over there, they're having to either take from other areas or do what they've been doing, which is blowing up their overtime budget.
Well, and so, you know, this is a city with no resources, a very small tax base. They're not going to have the ability. They're not going to be able to afford what you would need as far as public safety goes. It's going to take some kind of outside help. And what does that look like, I guess?
Well, your police and fire are typically your two largest budget items for a city. And I think that if they were to take their budgeted amount for their police department and put that toward a contract with the sheriff's department and then let the sheriff, you know, be responsible for setting up some joint task force if need be, we can help through the legislature if that's needed, but I don't think it is. And get, whether it be the National Guard, whether it be the state troopers to come in and supplement and ride with these deputies or run into units, the presence of officers prevents crime. And the more officers we've got over there, the less likely for crime to happen.
Yeah, it's just a matter of like getting them, finding them, and paying them. So it's going to take some kind of state response. And you mentioned the National Guard, and I know there's a bunch of legal hurdles here, but that seems like that would have to be a very temporary thing, because it does seem, if we did that, and it may work, but it does seem very cost prohibitive.
Oh, absolutely. It needs to be temporary. And, you know, the ideal situation is to do what we've done in Montgomery is, you know, if they were able to contract with the sheriff and let them, they are established, they're doing a good job over there already. If we could do that, get some troopers, maybe other agencies involved in getting extra manpower. Even if they had to start some kind of professional reserve unit or something to ride two per car to put with the deputies, that would help. But there's ways to address this to get it under control. And then once it's under control, if the city wants to reestablish their police department, then that would be a great time to start planning it out. They wouldn't be in a hurry and on a timeline, and they can start kind of do like the city of Sims did and start integrating, you know, back with the police department and eventually phase the sheriff's department back out again.
But there's just no, right now, as we talk here today, it doesn't seem like there's at least it had been talked about, and maybe there's some ideas floating around, but it's that exit plan. And, you know, first off, it's acknowledging that, okay, this is what has to be done in the interim. And I don't think we're there, but once we get to whatever that may be, then formulating this, like you said, the sort of the Sims model, it doesn't sound like we're even talking about that.
Yeah. And I don't know what they're talking about or not. I've not been involved in any of that whatsoever, but you know, hopefully that is some talks that they're either having or about to have and, you know, kind of come up with a long-term goal here. And if they come up with a 3 to 5 year, maybe even a 10-year plan, I think they could accomplish it and could turn that, department around and get things right. Those citizens deserve protection and they deserve law enforcement availability, and they just do not have it up until the sheriff's department.
Because it seems like that's like sort of like you've got to clear that hurdle before all these other social and economic woes can be fixed, because that is like maintaining a civil society, very fundamental. So like they could talk about, you know, all these ideas about economic development and trying to inspire some kind of activity or whatever. But you can't do any of that. You really can't until you kind of lock it down to making it a place that's safe.
Absolutely. Law and order is the fundamental principle of a city and government. And without that, you have nothing else. So it matters not the rest of it without getting that. So you're going to have to fix that. You're going to have to get it back in place and get it up and running and, you know, get it where it needs to be in order for that city to prosper and grow and do better.
Well, on the other side, now we're in limbo now, and there could be a point where you're not going to have those as heavy of a sheriff presence, and you don't have a police force. What does that look like? Even you know, does it look third world Mogadishu? I can't imagine that if it gets to that point, and that's sort of where we're at. What happens, and what should the state would have to get involved? I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. They've already having issues where there's a concern whether they do or do not have insurance. You know, like municipal insurance that covers police, fire, the city workers, and all of that. And right now, it's has the appearance that they do not. So I don't know. They've got so many hurdles to cross, and this is such a widespread issue. It's going to be like eating an elephant. They're just going to have to do it one bite at a time and fix one issue at a time until they can get things where they need to be. And if they can't, then I don't know. They can't be a city without having law and order and without having government, without somebody having been able to take care of the criminal element on the streets.
Yeah, because you start talking about that aspect of it. I mean, this is like the path to unincorporation or something, and then what happens? But I mean, this has been something that's probably been festering for way too long, for decades. And
oh, absolutely.
And kind of in polite society in Mobile, we don't talk about Pritchard, but guess what? The day has come when something's got to happen here. Push comes to shove. And this is a place that really self-governance hasn't really taken off like as hoped. It's just been allowed to kind of spiral out of control.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole reason we've got to have some checks and balances in place for not just Pritchard, but all across government throughout the state and the country, is to keep situations like this from happening. I know there's been a lot of federal grants and federal money that's been given to Pritchard over the years. And, we just, with all that's happened with the water board, and now we're dealing with the police department, there has got to be some checks and balances and some transparency on where the money that's being sent in to help fix things is going.
Yeah, because I can't imagine putting more money into it. They've thrown money at the problem, and the money gets misappropriated. And you think about this too, Representative. We talk about. I think it takes a lot for the federal government prosecutors to come in and go after bad actors in these sort of situations. It must have gotten really out of control somewhere along the way. And like I said, it just seems like the locals kind of turned a blind eye to it, and the federal government said, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you've seen several, high-profile cases over the last couple of years and in the media here where officers have been given a Gigulo letter, which means they were falsely testifying or not putting accurate information in the reports, which has led to either mistrials or cases being dismissed on like murder cases, high profile cases. And that absolutely cannot happen. The families have already been a victim to losing a loved one, but then to have the case or the suspect released because the law enforcement element has not done their job properly is just pure heartbreaking.
Well, it's sort of this, like if you're in this law enforcement space, it's hard enough to get police staffing in places that don't have these systemic problems. Who wants to go work there? Who wants to take a job with the Pritchard Police Department? And how do you, they obviously can't incentivize it. Then what do you do there?
Yeah, that's going to be a major, major problem. Always has been, and it's going to continue to be one. And that is another reason I think that the Sheriff's Department doing a contract with them would be a better option at the time, go in there, clean it up, slow things down, get things turned around, and maybe at some point in the future, starting a police department from the ground up. In that way, new reputation, new, hopefully new benefits, new better pay, that kind of stuff, and get things turned around, you know, to where it needs to be, to where they can recruit and hire and retain some good officers.
Well, Representative, I know this is one to watch, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll talk about it some more, I'm sure. But thanks for hopping on this morning.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on.
State Representative Shane Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.